Leviticus chapter 3, this talks about the peace offering, and let me just think about that a little bit. The order is nearly always the sin offering, the burnt offering, then the peace offering. Peace in the Bible usually refers to peace with God. So to get there, you've got to first of all recognize that you have sinned. And conviction of sin is a very major part of the whole biblical narrative and the teaching of the Lord Jesus and the person of the Lord Jesus. We are to be convicted of sin. And, oh, that's not popular now. Oh, it was a dysfunction. It was a result of a nexus of issues and all this kind of stuff. No, you have sinned. I have sinned. And that has got to be recognized. And there is provision for that, the sin offering. And then there was the burnt offering, which means that because of the grace of his forgiveness, I dedicate myself to him. And when you've done that, there is then peace with God. And that's why the three sacrifices are nearly always described in that order. And in verse 9, we read that they were to offer the entire tail fat, or the fatty tail, as some versions have it. This little phrase, the large fatty tail, occurs several times in the Mosaic legislation. And it's referring to a species of sheep that was in Egypt and the Sinai that had a large fatty tail that was to be offered. Now, here I think you see where the law of Moses was not set in stone for all time. It was relevant particularly to Israel in the wilderness. And, of course, the simple takeaway point is that we are to offer what in our circumstance and our culture is the best. Now, for one person at one point in history, at one geographical location, that may be one thing, and someone else in another, it will be something else. You've got to ask yourself, what's the fatty tail for me? For them, this was the great delicacy. This was the best bit, the fatty tail of the sheep. Well, you know, these days we're all scared stiff of eating red meat and scared stiff of any amount of fat because it's going to clog our arteries and all that. I don't suppose for us the fatty tail would be a great thing to eat. We'd probably think, oh yeah, the law says got to give that to God. Oh yeah, no problem. But sacrifice has got to cost us something. And as David says, I will not sacrifice that which costs me nothing. We are to be left minus when we have offered. But the point is, it should be the best. And I'm not simply talking about money. The problem is everything has become monetized now. Everything's got its cash value. But as I often say in these talks, when I was baptized, I opened my Bible as I was drying myself off, and I opened it at random and asked God to speak to me. And he said to me clearly in the Proverbs, "My son, give me your heart." That's what he asked for. And that, I think, is what we are all the same asked to give. My son, give me your heart. Now, in verse 11, we read that this offering, this peace offering, was the food or the offering of the Lord, or the bread of Yahweh. And likewise, the altar is several times described as the table of Yahweh. What the offerer put on the altar was, as it were, set on the table before God. It was the bread of God, the food of God. The priest ate some of it, and the offerer also ate some of it from off the altar. The idea was that that altar was the table, and the priest was representing God. And the offerer was also eating some of it. And there was to be bread and wine, or flour and wine, also offered. So this was an absolutely wonderful idea of eating together with God Almighty, in peace with him. Now, the idea of sharing your table with somebody all through the Bible and in the surrounding culture meant that you accepted each other. That's why they were so shocked that Jesus should eat, should break his bread, should share his food at the same table as sinners. And Jesus, of course, totally inverted their idea and said, look, I've got an open table. And they said, but why do you do this? And he said that, well, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. His idea of this open table was that through showing that grace of acceptance to anybody who's at whatever point they are in their life, this was to lead them to repentance. This was the call to repentance. This is a very far cry from fencing off the table just for the righteous. You can't come, you're divorced and remarried, as was said in the church of my youth. You can't come because you've got wrong doctrine on this, that, or the other. You can't come because you're living in sin, or whatever. So they thought, no, this is absolutely the opposite. The wonder of it all is that the offerer was accepted by God at his table, which was the altar. Now, in our context, of course, the bread and wine being used along with the peace offering, of course, makes us immediately suspect that this is looking forward to our breaking of bread. And indeed it is. Because we read likewise of the table of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 10. He says you can't partake of the Lord's table and that of the idols. And that is so. If we know the wonder of fellowship with God Almighty and with his Son, you're not going to want fellowship with anybody else. To sit at his table is quite enough, is absolutely awesome. That you and I could sit there in mutual fellowship at peace with him. Jesus said about himself, the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven. Even the rabbis spoke of eating Messiah. So the bread or the food of God is Jesus. And we partake the symbols of him as we break bread. So that is the table of the Lord. That is the altar, as it were. And we are eating in peace and fellowship with God. That is the wonder of it all, that we are his and in fellowship with him.